Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Wow, that's an interesting passage. Father, we are here because you're ready to empower your people. We're ready for a great new season and awakening. So we receive your purpose for us as your church. We want to do whatever it is you've called us to do and do it well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I want to get right to the word tonight. I've got a prophetic word for you about the kingdom of God. First of all, placing your foot on the neck of a defeated enemy was a common practice in Bible days. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And as they drew near and put their feet on their necks, and then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So he was showing all those that were working with him the power of God and the authority of God to subdue adversaries. Joshua conquered 33 nations, and every time he placed his foot on the neck of their king. A king is an influencer. Normally, there are not issues with people without an influencer involved. Without conquering the influencer, their problems could arise again. And so the adversary that we fight is always looking to influence people in the wrong direction. Because King Saul failed to take out his adversaries as God asked him, to, in fact, commanded him to do, King Agag and others that he allowed to live, they came back to haunt him. In fact, there was one of those left living who killed him on the final day of his life. Some things will come back to haunt us if we don't dispatch them. Our children might suffer because we have failed to take care of business with our adversary. Take out spiritual strongholds, or they will come back. Devils are only in remission until you put your foot on their neck. Amen? Secondly, kingdom authority is manifested in the midst of your adversaries. God has empowered you when you confront or are willing to confront your enemy. Some think we are powerful because we get charged up in church services. Thank God we can. But the question is, we are full of the Holy Spirit in here. Are we full of the Holy Spirit out there? Because that's where the New Testament church was full of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit on the streets, in the neighborhoods, in the marketplace, in business. God is opening the door for the advancement of his kingdom in our day. Amen? And whenever God opens a door, it's not about us. It's about his kingdom. It's about what he's trying to do to build his family. So everything we do is not for us. It's for the kingdom of God, to serve him, to honor him. And whenever God opens the door for us, listen, our selfish ambition will keep the door from opening if we think it's only about us. God has a world he's trying to reach. He's trying to gather in as many as he can and bring in the final harvest before he sends his son back. Our job is to be sure his kingdom is advanced. Amen? So it's about his kingdom. It's not about us. And, you know, I was looking at the passage from Matthew's gospel where Jesus tells the disciples, he says, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, the ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's a very powerful word that Jesus gives to him. Why? Because Jesus launched the movement of Christianity, of building his church, literally in front of the gates of hell in his day. When you start doing the research, it's an outstanding passage and revelation of what Jesus was doing. He did another illustrated message. The gates of hell in that day were known to be in Caesarea Philippi, which had the gate of hell at the bottom of Mount Hermon. And the people of that day, many of which were superstitious, thought that in the cave that was there at the base of Mount Hermon, covered by some gates, that's where people were offering sacrifices to the god called Pan. And the residents of that day, in the day of Jesus, believed that there in that cave at Caesarea Philippi, that was the gate to the underworld. That was the gate to hell itself. The people of Caesarea Philippi were engaging in all kinds of horrible sins in front of those gates toward hell, including prostitution, sexual interaction between humans and animals, bestiality, in order to entice their god Pan to return every year and to bless them. They were full of the devil. And since gates were the defensive and political structures in the ancient world, what Jesus was saying to the nature of the church, you need to attack and undermine the ideologies and dark forces and all those that have supported those forces that support earthly empires politically, economically, and spiritually. You are to stand in front of the gates of hell and knock them down. Jesus was commissioning his disciples to take action against the adversary that was standing, blinding the people and politically confusing the people, not just spiritually confusing them. So we need to be full of the Spirit in our culture, not just in church. We need to be full of the Lord's power and boldness wherever we happen to be placed by the Lord. We are to confront evil wherever we find it, and we are to build, listen, the church on the very places where the enemy has built altars of moral corruption. The implications of Jesus didn't want his followers to hide from evil, but to engage the powers of wickedness and be unafraid to take them down. And that's exactly why the church today has become so apathetic. Because we want to hide in the building and never get out into the marketplaces of life. We need to let our light shine. Jesus said, when you have a light and it's ready to shine, you don't put it under a bushel, you take it to the highest place you can and let it shine upon as many people as is possible. Amen? And our job as the light of the world is to take the gospel and confront the gates of hell with the message of truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Third, people will have willing hearts and offer themselves. When leaders lead in Israel, it says in Judges, when the people willingly offer themselves. That's a powerful passage. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves. When you look at that, you understand in context of my opening text, people stood up. They stepped into the moment. I've had expectations that God would bring me to his full purpose. I don't expect things to stay the same if that's what God's trying to do in my life. Things have to continuously migrate and change in my heart. There are seasons the Holy Spirit orchestrates where he's pushing us in growth and in development and in challenge. We're stepping into a fresh new anointed season of the Lord. So I've been faithful for long periods of time. I can. Why? Because I believe the day in, day out faithfulness will produce a harvest. I believe when we're faithful to God, and do what he's asking us to do every single day without complaint. We're just grateful to be able to serve because he's called us to serve. When we're able to do that every day, I can wait because I know one day, if I will be faithful, I will reap a harvest. Amen? Why? I know God promised if I stay faithful to do exactly what he asked me to do, he will give us the harvest if we don't quit. So when God gives you a dream, you'll have to learn to wait. That's the hardest lesson of all when God gives you a dream. Joseph had to learn that lesson. And we're not exempt from learning that lesson either. We have to learn to wait and remain consistently faithful. And then he gives you the steps to your dream in order for that dream to be fulfilled. Keep doing good. Keep serving. Keep honoring God. You will do the right thing and no one will pat you on the back, but you just keep doing the right thing, always. And fourth, sons and daughters will arrive with passion to honor God. Here's part of your harvest. There's an awakening and a rejection of passivity starting to boil up within the hearts and lives of leaders in the church in the Western culture. There's an awakening and a rejection of passivity. New life is starting to spring up. It will upset the status quo, and it will upset apathy, and it will rock some boats. I know what God wants to do, and I'm ready to do whatever God commands. And God's fulfillment will happen quick, fast, and in a hurry when the harvest begins. So when this move begins to break, be ready. Breakthrough is happening. That means faster than we can count. At a set time, things will begin to accelerate. So we need to press in, don't stop, get everything that God planted in your heart. And I won't have to remind you when that day begins to dawn, I won't have to remind you to be at the next prayer meeting. I won't have to remind you, you need to faithfully, daily study God's word. I won't have to remind you, you need to be in church services gathered with the rest of the people. Some will have heard the revelation that God has brought you through spiritual leadership, and you'll recognize God's at work doing something unique. You remain consistent even though you've had setbacks. You got knocked down. You may have lost a job. A loved one may have walked away. You were rejected, but you still showed up to worship. You've got what Joseph had in his DNA. And he went through seven specific life-altering setbacks in his early days. They were horrendous, some of them. They would have knocked most people totally off the rails. But Joseph kept being faithful to honor God and love God and serve God until God saw, I can now fulfill his purpose because he's a trustworthy young man. God is up to something, so you show up and you worship him. Even though things have gone sideways, you show up and you love him. You show up and you're all in and you're passionate about. You might as well get into the flow of what God's up to because that's where healing begins to happen. Amen? No, it's not easy. No, it takes discipline. It takes focus. It takes a willingness to get out there and push through when you don't feel like it. It's not easy. Not easy for me any more than it is for you. But I'm under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you will endure and you will see what he can do. And it will amaze you what he can do to bring the comeback in your direction, just like he did for Joseph. So when your past is messed up, step up under the lordship of Jesus, and no matter what happened in the past, we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So when you spend time under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he rules. And in ruling, and he has you now where you need to be in order under him, then he begins to equip you because now he knows he can trust you. He has an equipping process, and none are exempt. There's no fast track with this. It's an equipping process, and it's lordship and a willingness to be accountable to him and honor him, even when we don't feel like it or like what he's asking us to do or refuse to do it. Favor doesn't allow us to miss equipping. So you might want to write that one down. Favor, it's because we have favor in our lives. It does not allow us to miss equipping. And we've seen train wreck all over the place when people have had favor in their lives, but they refused accountability and refused to be equipped, and it always makes a mess. When you spend time under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he rules and he begins to equip. Amen? Now look how God is assembling us. Because, you know, you might look good on the outside, but have issues on the inside. To be successful in growing his church, everyone in the body of Christ must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord in our lives. Now, you might have a good job, you might have a stable income, you might have a good home, you might have a few toys, but you still have an old nature. And that old nature must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to this? Okay? Because you've already proven you don't have the strength to resist that nature by yourself. So you have to come under the lordship of Jesus so that old nature does not cancel out God's purpose for your life. So watch this. Arise, shine, shine. Why? Because we are lights in this dark world, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Does anybody want that in your life? God has included us. We are in this. Tell your neighbor, we are in this. Amen? And God tells us, when all hell is breaking loose in our world, the Gentiles, he goes on to say, verse 3, shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Man, the church is going to attract people like light attracts moths in the summertime. People are watching and hearing what is being spoken at Calvary Christian Center, and we are to step up and shine in our culture. And why are we shining? Not because of Pastor C, not because of CCC, but because of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't ever have a problem giving Jesus all the glory. There is no glory without him. Amen. Praise God. There is none without him. And when stuff starts happening, the Gentiles, and that means the lost, those are out people considered in that time of the writing of that passage, outside of the fellowship of God, the Gentiles, the lost, will start coming. So greeters and ushers, we don't run people away who don't look like us. We don't run them off. And when his harvest begins to come in, we must get them under the lordship of Jesus Christ so the Holy Spirit can do the cleaning that's necessary. He's in charge of cleaning up our act, amen? Not man-made rules. We couldn't clean up ourselves. How can we clean up anybody else? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't fix our own attitudes. We can't clean up anybody else's. We lead people to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He'll take care of it. He always does. Amen? I've watched it physically happen. I've seen it physically happen. I've watched the change in people's lifestyles simply because the power of the Holy Spirit revealing the lordship of Jesus caused people to have the strength to change. The lordship of Jesus Christ has done miracles in my life. And if we can get everyone in the church under the lordship of Jesus, he'll do miracles in all of our lives. And whoever told you, you can't change. Whoever told you that? They lied. Your old nature lied. The devil jumped in on that and he lied. Whoever told you? That's a lie. You can change under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You will exhaust yourself trying to change yourself. Just get under the lordship of Jesus, and he'll give you wisdom, he'll give you knowledge, he'll give you understanding, he'll give you power. Listen, power that the enemy cannot stop, cannot bind. God will prove all opposition wrong when you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, he goes on to say in verse 4, and shall come, your sons shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Remember, the opening text talks about the children coming home. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. You'll see your children around you worshiping the Lord, renewed, restored, great joy when they begin to come home spiritually and you see the change in them. You'll put your foot on the enemy's neck. When you do, your children will come to the brightness of your shining. Amen. Because under the lordship of Jesus, you put your foot on the enemy's neck. It's like under the direction of Joshua, those that served alongside of him were able to do that under his direct order. Who here is a loved one you're believing to come into the kingdom of God? Do you have loved ones that need Jesus? I mean, only a few of you do. You all probably do, right? Amen? For that to happen, we need to shine. We need to glow with the presence and the glory of the Lord. And we only shine under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, if gossiping keeps you from shining, it's time you learn to stop gossiping. There it is. It's time to stop gossiping. Because that, according to Scripture, is just as evil as any other act of sin. Negative speech, backbiting. Don't like that. When there's negative speech about your own church and its leadership, it stops the church from shining. And we need new language, and we need a speech adjustment so we can shine. Say good things about what God is doing at Calvary Christian Center. We need to stop throwing a cloud over the people and the things that God wants to do among us when we come to worship together, because the worst witness is being negative about the church God placed you in. And you all ought to be praising God right now because you just got biblical truth. Amen. It's attitude, negative, that old nature. And the enemy just pours gasoline all over that. Once that spark starts, he just pours gasoline. Yeah. Tell him like it is. Tell them what you think, right? Gossip is like barnacles. Barnacles are crustaceans that are related to crabs. They're bottom feeders. And someone was comparing barnacles and how they slow down sea vessels to the effect gossip has on any organization, including the church. Barnacles can slow down ships by as much as 40%, as reported by the United States Navy. Barnacles can get inside the engines of those ships and also add weight to the hull, making it harder for them to maneuver in the water. Barnacles can actually crack the hull of smaller vessels. Barnacles diminish the aerodynamics of the boat. And the number of barnacles multiply rapidly due to their constant reproduction. because they quickly begin to reproduce once a few of them start attaching themselves nearby each other. It's kind of like what happens when you get a nice piece of fresh fruit that's just about perfectly ripe. And you know, when you set it on the table, and if you were to take a piece of fruit that's already gotten more than ripe and a little moldy and funny, and you put it next to the nice fresh piece of fruit, it won't be very long that the stinky, deteriorating fruit is going to start spoiling and damaging the good fruit. It doesn't take very long for that to start to happen, because that's the way it works. United States Navy spends $500 million a year cleaning barnacles off of their ships. Gossip slows down the mission and the vision of the church, and it will affect the health of the body. There's a cost when people begin to do that in the body of Christ. There's also a cost when you confront it and say, I'm not having any of it. I don't want to hear that stuff, right? And we should be bold enough to say that and say, that's not Jesus. That's not what he wants in his and his family. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, but we've got to shine in order for that to happen. And we're not going to shine very much if we've got a bunch of barnacles hanging all off of us. Many have had something stolen or taken from you. And when you've suffered loss, you want to be a part of the moment that I'm preaching to you about tonight of restoration, because God wants to restore his church to New Testament values, principles, and standards. Amen. Don't deny that increase is coming if we position ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Some have rearranged themselves apart from the lordship of Jesus Christ. And they've tried to make over the church in a different style where we don't talk about anything that makes people uncomfortable. The lordship of Jesus Christ brought me to where I am today. And if I displace myself, I will lose my walk in the Spirit with him. So tonight, those who have been displaced are going to come back and walk back in place, because they'll see the brightness of his shining. I don't care what or who lured you away. We must get back in place under the lordship of Jesus. Carry your responsibility. Someone invited you out, and they had an agenda. And they were that piece of fruit that had some mold on it. And they had an agenda, and they tried to infect you with what they had. Listen to me. It's time to get back in place. Don't allow anyone or anything to move you away from the lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul had to correct this in the early church. He said, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? I mean, he birthed them. He brought them to the light. He showed them Jesus in power and resurrection. Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. How did you stray away from this valuable truth? So I'm declaring tonight, I shall not be moved away. Amen. That which has been lost will be turned back to you in abundance. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The psalmist put it like this, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And thank God there's a U-turn starting to happen spiritually in our culture. What was lost is turning around and coming back in the direction of the Lord. Say, it's coming in my direction. Now, if we get under Jesus' lordship, he'll restore what's been stolen from us. Because if things are being lost to you, check and see if you haven't stepped out from under the lordship of Jesus. When you're out from under his lordship, your stuff is going to go somewhere else. Now, lordship. He's the king. This is his kingdom. And what his word says goes. No one else's word counts if it contradicts his. His word goes. Shall be turned to you. That's the promise in the context of this message. When we're under the lordship of Jesus, it shall be turned to you. That which has gone over here starts turning and comes to you. Something is turning. He's our source. We are not the source. We will never be the source. We are to connect to the source. So behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands his blessing. So I get to choose. We make the choice. We are going to stand together as one. We are not going to get into disunity and disharmony. Discover where the there is, for there the Lord commanded his blessing. Discover where the there is. Blessing is there. Where there's unity, people can be sitting in this church, but they're not here. And stuff will not go as well as it used to. It goes away when we step out from under the lordship of Jesus. But there's a way to fix that. That's the promise of Scripture. Engage with Jesus' purpose and lordship. Things will start to turn back to you. Anybody want back what the enemy stole? I don't know about you. I want everything back he took away from me. The wealth of the Gentiles, it goes on to say, shall come to you. Now, there are those who complain about bringing God his tithe to church. Complain about an offering. There are some God has listening to the truth. He's been speaking to us and wonder where the provision from God's going to come from. Some who have said, you know, I can't be there to worship with you, but I'll make worship easier for you. Thank God for generous people who, if they can't be here or may not attend here, but hear of some of the projects we have, are willing to write a check and say, I can't be there as a part, but I'm going to make sure it happens. I thank God for that. Amen. God is our provider. He always has resources, and people are the catalysts for those resources. Never complain when God asks you to be generous, because everything I have came from his generosity. I don't have any generosity bestowed on me except it came from God. Things are working for your good, and you're going to see it, and your enemy is going to see it too. People will come to know Jesus because they see his generous love in your direction. God loves his people. God loves his church. It's his family. Amen? And fifth, every victory is the result of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every victory. We can never get to the place where we think victory came because of us. Victory is the result of yielding to the lordship of Jesus, who grants us the victory. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Amen? The triumph didn't come from us. It came through Christ. So we might think we obtained some victory. No. No. When David was anointed king, he was under death threat, and he's got nothing but misfits around him. That's all he's got. He's out there in the wilderness, and he's got everybody else who got thrown out of town, and they drove him out of town, and they were a bunch of rabble-rousers and a bunch of misfits. Nobody wanted them in their cities anymore, and it would be very clear who gave David victory after victory after victory. It was the Lord. You look at yourself with low self-esteem and think, I can't make a difference anywhere. Everyone who showed up to stand with David was considered to be a misfit. And while you wait around to qualify, you can miss your season. Go with what God gave you. God wants to get glory. God got glory out of that bunch of misfits that were around David. Everything under Jesus' lordship, he gets glory for. I had the thought, and I've thought about it a time or two. It's happened to me a few times. I don't think I can do some of the things other people have done. I've questioned myself, and then God taps me on the shoulder And he has such a simple answer. As long as you're doing what you say you can do, then you're under your own lordship. But when you fully surrender to my lordship, you will do exceedingly abundantly above. God will push us out there until we are uncomfortable, so we learn to trust his lordship. And some just settle for their comfort zone. The attitude being, I can do this with my eyes closed. Not this one, baby. We can't do this with all of our education. We can't do it with our history or our experience. What God has for us, you'll have to go back to the lordship of Jesus Christ and say, if you don't help me, I will make a fool out of myself. Look at your neighbor and ask, are you scared? Huh? Yeah, be scared. Not fearful, difference. Be scared. Be scared because you know it's not your strength. It's his power working in you. It will scare you because you realize that it's only by God's power that those dreams can come to pass. And then you prep to serve the Lord, you spend time with him, you get his direction, you're submitted to his lordship, because I know unless he is Lord and unless I serve his wishes, nothing is good is going to happen that benefits him or his kingdom. I need his lordship over my life. Someone comes to you and says, you know, you're getting really good at this. I mean, you really have improved. None of that. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, what would I do? It's the Lord. Major challenges before worship authenticates our worship. It's when we have come through the fire. It's when we have been challenged. It's when the God is pushing us out of our comfort areas and we're having to trust him and believe him, even though we're scared. Because if you can't worship having just walked through hell, then you don't have authentic worship. When you can worship in the heat of the battle, you're going to go deeper because you're under Jesus' lordship. And it wasn't just one or two things going wrong. It's one of those weeks or days or months when nothing is right, but I still worship. I don't require optimal conditions to worship. Perhaps nothing is right, but I will worship my Lord. He is my Lord Jesus Christ. And every victory is the result of the lordship of Jesus. And some are waiting for conditions to be perfect. But the word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen? So there's never going to be conditions perfect. Tell your neighbor, deliverance is here. When you're in my position, you deal with a lot of stuff. But we see the hand of God deliver us out of them all. Amen? Faith doesn't give you an easy life. Faith gives you a victorious life. Faith doesn't run your circumstances off. Faith grants you the ability to overcome your circumstance. Faith doesn't stop your enemy from attacking. Faith causes you to stand on the necks of your defeated adversaries. Amen? And if my enemies didn't exist, I could not qualify for a promotion. It's because the enemy attacks me that I qualify for promotion when I'm faithful to the lordship of Jesus. And if my enemies didn't exist, I could never taste the sweetness of victory because there are adversaries. And now I get to see victory over what the enemy is intended for evil. Now, you can negotiate if you choose with your adversaries. I'm going to stand on the neck of mine. Okay? Don't waste energy talking to the devil. Stand on the devil. Devil, you need to get out of my house. You need to get out of my microwave. You need to get out of my refrigerator. You need to get off of my kids. No, you stand on the enemy and you are not moved. And if you have a recurring issue, you must be consistent and never let up on in your fight targeting your adversary, like the Philistines. They recurred as a problem in Israel because the Israelis would repent temporarily and God would give them a reprieve, and then they would have victory for a while over the Philistines. Then they'd sink back into the levels of living, and God would, here they come again. Israel had to submit to God and align with God and not the idols so they could stand in total victory over their adversary. It was their inconsistency that allowed the enemy to keep regrouping and attacking again and again and again. You can't show up once a week or every 2 weeks and think you're going to live in complete victory. Doesn't work like that. You can't wait until it's a church service to say, well, I'm strong in the Lord tonight and in the power of his might. No, you need to say that on Monday. You need to say that on Tuesday, that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purpose. And if you think every day is going to be sunshine, no, there's going to be rain a few of those days. But I grew up in a climate where there was rain periodically. So I'm prepared. And I can't understand why so many people in California are unprepared for rainy season. And it's raining. And they're walking out there and they're trying to cover their... Where's your umbrella? What's the deal with this? Right? I have an umbrella. Because when I take it with me, it almost ensures it won't rain. When I leave it at home... for sure it's going to rain, right? I'm undercover. That's what an umbrella does. I'm undercover. Amen? You have rainy days, but you be undercover. You need a lead pastor. You need associate pastors. You need a church structure. You need to be in a connection group. You need accountability. It's the only way his kingdom is structured. You need those who will speak into your life when you're enduring a hardship. Because once the rain passes, then you have victory. I've had some rainy days in life, but I'm thankful they pass and there's victory if I stayed undercover. I didn't give up just because I faced the mountain. I kept talking to it and I kept strengthening my faith in God. What opposed me was going to obey me. I talked to it with Jesus on Sunday. I talked to it with the saints together on Sunday. I talked to it with my wife on Monday through Saturday. I have other conversations with it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and in prayer. And everything we have talked to is moving because they will move at the authority and the presence of the Lord in his kingdom. The devil will bow down and get under your feet when you start to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. No, I don't have conversations with the devil when he tries to attack me. I quote scripture. Get behind me. I'm not going to Google how to talk to the devil. Good grief. How is there victory without being convinced of God's power at work? I will not have a long conversation with the devil who's already defeated. If he's under our feet on Sunday, who let him get up on Monday morning? Don't allow him to get back up. Keep him under your feet. We've got victory over the wicked one. Amen? We've got victory over the wicked one. We can stand on his neck tonight as long as we are under the lordship of Jesus. Subdue the enemy. Overcome the enemy. We don't play with him. We defeat him. We stop him. We put our foot on his neck. The gates of hell will not, shall not prevail against the church. What we've got is more powerful than what he defends himself with. And so in the book of Revelation, John said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's what kingdom people look like. Amen. Praise God. Jump up on your feet and give glory to God tonight and thank him for his goodness and thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him. He's my Lord. As Thomas put it, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you're my Savior. That was the beginning of my journey. That's the beginning. Paul puts it like this in the book of Hebrews. He said, and that's good. We all needed that beginning, but we can't stay there. We must migrate forward and grow and develop and learn of the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? He is Lord of our lives. Anybody here got some adversaries in your life? Yeah, you should. If you're doing anything for Jesus, you got some adversaries looking for ways to stall you, stop you, frustrate you, discourage you, wear you down, talk you out of it. If you've got an adversary in your life, and that enemy is speaking into you, trying every way he can to get you off the rails, you need to get down here as fast as you can and put your foot on the neck of your adversary. And we did this a few months ago, but I want to do this again. As many as you can. Get yourself down here and use that very first step here at this prayer altar area to use as a symbol that I'm putting my foot on the neck of my adversary, and I'm not going to let him up. I'm going to put my foot on his neck until it snaps, and he never rises to attack me again. So who's got some adversaries you want to put under your feet? Be bold. Be transparent. Ask God to help you, because you're Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ is your Savior. He's your commander-in-chief. He is the Lord of heavenly hosts and all of heaven's armies. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling you, come alongside me. I've already defeated your adversary. I've already got him under my feet. Come on, stand with me, he's saying, and put your foot now on the neck of the adversary right alongside mine. Enjoy the victory I've won for you. And always remember, I've won the victory. He has won your victory. And if you've got an adversary, come on. Come on. You've got some challenges in your life? Come on. Come on down here. Make your way forward and say, Lord, I want to defeat this thing in my life. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's negative speech. Maybe it's saying things that you shouldn't be saying that stir up trouble and do damage. Whatever it is, maybe you've got a habit. Maybe you've got some issues with substance abuse, some addiction you can't seem to get free from. Whatever it is that the enemy's tormenting you with, come on down. Come on down. Put your foot on the neck of that adversary.